Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Gospel reading from the book of Mark, read earlier, and talks about prayer. Really, it talks about two kinds of prayer, prayers of desperation and prayers of faith. What is it about prayer? What do they call that last second football pass as the time expires in the game? They call it a... Okay, all right. I was going to say prayer, but how about a basketball game? The last second shot. He's throwing up a... Okay. A Hail Mary or a prayer. Okay, but when we say a Hail Mary, it's a prayer. Okay, thank you. But I'll take Hail Mary. That's good enough. All right, now how about this? If you're really out of it, if your team's really out of it, okay, and the last second shot doesn't matter, okay, they say that team doesn't have a prayer. A prayer. Or even a Hail Mary. Well, in our own lives, sometimes we only turn to prayer when it's the last resort. When the situation is hopeless and it seems like there's nothing else that we can do. When really we can't handle it anymore. That's sometimes the only time we turn to prayer. Sometimes when our children grow up and they're old enough that they don't have to listen to us anymore, and they don't listen to us anymore, it's time to turn to prayer, we think. Or when our parents are aging, they can't listen to us anymore, one way or another, we turn to prayer. Or sometimes there's someone in our lives who we're just struggling with one way or another. It's somebody maybe at work, somebody in our family, someone who is either that person that seems like they're your enemy, you can't do anything about it, or someone you love, and the relationship is strained, and you still can't do anything about it. Or sometimes, when you're in a difficult situation, like the father in our text today, who wants to fix things, guys like to fix things, and he can't. That's sometimes when we turn to prayer as a last resort. Finally, when we put things in God's hands that we cannot control ourselves. Kind of like this Jimmy Stewart character in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It comes on at Christmas time. He's praying as a last resort. He's contemplating suicide. Things are going wrong, really wrong, in his life, in his job, his work. He's afraid he might have to go to prison. His family's going to be disgraced. So he goes to this bridge and he's thinking about throwing himself off of it. And this is his prayer. Lord, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, and if you can hear me, show me the way. Does that kind of sound like the Father in today's text today? When Jesus asked him, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and save us. Help us. Now, I don't know why the Father says, if you can do anything. Maybe it's because he has doubts. Doubts because of these disciples of Jesus. You remember back in the previous chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 6. Jesus goes up on the mountain and is transfigured with, let's say, three of his favorite disciples, or three close disciples, Peter, James, and John. And in the meantime, the other disciples have been sent out two by two, and he gave them power even over unclean spirits. So they went out preaching repentance and casting out demons and healing the sick. But now, with this man's son, they can't do anything. At least these disciples can't. And what's worse, these disciples of Jesus, get in an argument with the so-called experts. If there was ever somebody who was board certified in expelling demons, it would be these experts of the law, these experts of the Torah, these scribes, these lawyers. But they're no help either. All they can do is argue with Jesus' disciples. You ever been in a situation where you needed help and all you heard was an argument between two people about how to help? Neither of them helped? That's what this father sees. All he sees is an argument. He doesn't see Jesus descending from the mountain in glory. He just sees a crowd arguing. So when Jesus turns and asks the crowd, "What are you arguing about?" this father steps forward and he says, I don't know, maybe he's just had enough at this point. Maybe you can hear his tired voice as he says to Jesus, the symptoms of his son, as he repeats them yet again. Have you ever been to the doctor's office, and then to the specialist, and then to the next guy? You just repeat the same symptoms? Maybe that's how this guy felt. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And when it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out. They were not able. Maybe you've seen this scene before. Maybe in a pediatrics ward at a hospital. Maybe in some other kind of hospital. Picture yourself in the waiting room as you see some parents talking with the doctor. Even if you can't hear the doctor, you know what it means when that father looks at the doctor's white coat and at his stethoscope, staring just blankly. You know what it means. You know what it means when you see the white knuckles of the mother clutching her husband's coat as she listens to the doctor. You know what he's saying. There's nothing more that we can do. Hopeless. Well, the last ounce of this father's hope is draining out. Does he care what the crowd thinks? Does he even see them? Does he even see Jesus? Or are his eyes fixed on his son, who he's losing? No, I don't suppose that this father really minds that Jesus takes the time to turn to the crowd. and call them a faithless generation. Perhaps all that this father hears is for his son to be called forward. Perhaps this Jesus can do something. Something. Perhaps. But when they bring his son to Jesus, the spirit that possesses him recognizes the Son of God. And once again, this spirit convulses the boy. He makes him roll around on the ground, twisting in agony, foaming at the mouth, grinding his teeth. Why? Just to spite the Son of God. Maybe this one last time, to inflict as much suffering as he can. Does the Spirit know it's going to be the last time? Certainly the Father doesn't. So when Jesus asks the Father, how long has this been happening to him? I don't see the Father folding his arms and quietly standing by, clinically discussing his son's symptoms. I don't hear the Father saying it that way. This father has not heard his son say, I love you, Dad. His son is mute. And this father has not spoken to his son so that he can hear him. Even if he says he loves him, his son can't hear him. Would you miss that? No, I don't see him just standing there with his arms folded. I see this father clutching his son as he writhes on the ground. From childhood, he says. He says this as he's holding his son. And even as the crowd draws back, maybe in fear, Father glances quickly around him, ready to interpose himself between his son and danger. Anybody who might strike his son out of fear. The father's eyes are filled with tears. Maybe you can see in your mind's eye his experienced feet kicking away any obstacles his son might roll around into. Experienced arms encapsulate his son, even as his son fights his father's embrace one more time. And white knuckles that have snatched this boy away from the fire and away from the water, again and again. That is what now answered Jesus, even before he hears the Father's voice. I see this father on the ground with his son, answering Jesus over a shoulder, heaving with sobs, heaving with every convulsion of his son. I see blurry, wet eyes that turn to Jesus that say, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and mercy. This is the prayer of desperation that he throws up. This is the prayer of a man who wants to see the transfigured Jesus in all his glory and what he can do. But he cannot like the answer that he gets. As the color drains from his face, he hears the reply of the Son of God himself. If you can, all things are possible to the one who believes. Now you can almost hear his thoughts racing. All hope is lost. I blew it. My last second prayer was the wrong thing. That heave of a prayer was swatted away by Jesus back in my face. Rejected. I prayed the wrong thing, he thinks. Didn't Jesus just get done complaining about faithlessness? And here I say, if. I don't have enough faith, he thinks. What have I done? What about my son? Yet as the words of the Son of God seemingly drive away all hope in the Father, yet there is a slender reed of promise there. An implicit promise. Did you hear it? All things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the Father cries out, I believe! Help my unbelief! This is the prayer that only the word of Jesus elicits. Did you think about that? Help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. He's clinging to this slender reed of hope that God will hear the one who believes. All things are possible for the one who believes. Jesus is inviting him to believe. That is the prayer of faith. Not a prayer of desperation. Not a prayer of there's nothing left if you can help. It's a prayer of faith. I know you can do something. I believe. Help my unbelief. Get rid of it. Strengthen my belief. Strengthen it with your promise. Your promise of faithfulness. And what seems like a slender reed of faith is faith in the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness in the Son of God Himself. We sing, Great is Thy faithfulness. It is! It is. That's not a slender reed of faithfulness. It's a huge oak of God's faithfulness. That is what you're clinging to when you pray. That is a prayer of faith. That is the prayer that drives out the demon. That is the prayer of one who sees the convulsions of Jesus Christ Himself on the cross. He knows what that is. He knows your weakness, every weakness. His power is made true in weakness. His power is offered to you in the weakness that He undertook Himself for you on the cross. His power is there for you in the inky silence of an empty tomb. That's the reed that you can cling to. His faithfulness. That's the faith that He gives you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Cling to that. Believe in that and hold that when all else seems dark. The Lord Jesus Christ grants this to us because of what He has done for us on the cross. Amen.